And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 368. It's a Bloom Board Tuesday, and it's one that we've done year after year, and it kind of is an eye-opening experience. It's the Gene Segura All-Stars, kind of at the four-month mark, two-thirds mark of the season. Your Gene Segura All-Stars, you know, kind of looking back at the past month to see if they're still sitting in your lineup, or as according to the most of Discord, you can get really cruel like me and start cutting people, which is what I enjoy to do. But we'll get to that, some news and more. But first off, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
I am pretty good. Gene Segura All-Stars. This one's a classic. I'm kind of surprised it took us 4 months to do this one, but here we are. I guess we got sidetracked with mid-year recaps and all kinds of other stuff, but this will be a good one. We will explain what a Gene Segura All-Star is for those new to the show over the last year or so, because I know it's a random ass title. Certainly not for SEO, search engine optimization. This episode is not, I don't know who's Googling Gene Segura anymore, or even using Google anymore. It's all AI, but
would it surprise you if I said I still use Google for pretty much everything I do?
That's pretty advanced. It's pretty advanced.
I guess because AI is way too advanced for me. But we don't. If people haven't figured it out yet, we don't really follow SEO on this show, maybe to our detriment. But we
also don't really promote the damn thing either, which also probably to our detriment. But whatever.
But we have a great time doing it. But this is a tradition we started a while back, and we joke about it throughout the season in the Discord about, hey, this is a potential Gene Segura All-Star for the end of the season. So an episode's always good. Like I said, more importantly, you can kind of look ahead to, should you be rostering this player with 2 months to go? Literally, we have eight factories to go. So we have like 8.5 weeks now, as you'll be listening to this probably on Wednesday. 8.5 weeks of baseball.
And so that's why, it is, like, for, though it is 4 months into the season, if we did this show, you know, 2 months into the season, I think the answer would be the same thing for a lot of these players that we'll talk about tonight. Is like, oh, it's early, hold. To what you were just saying, you know, Captain Cut, you're ruthless with the drops. With 2 months left in the season, it's like, yeah, you need to make some moves and make some tough decisions. So I do think a good chunk of these players we'll talk about will be actionable for you all this evening.
Indeed. Let's talk about some news and notes, though, real quick before we get into the Gene Segura All-Stars, because it's been a brutal, like, 48-ish hours, give or take, in the fantasy baseball landscape. I say 48 because most of it happened after Fab. A couple happened before. We'll talk about because they're bigger names. But Curtis Meade on Monday night was hit by a pitch in his wrist. After the game, x-rays were negative, Ryan. He was diagnosed with a contusion. How many times have I said certain things about this, Ryan? And it came to fruition on Tuesday. Curtis Meade had a scan on his hand, and he revealed a fractured wrist. He's flying back to Boston. They said he's taking the red eye out on Tuesday evening at a Sacramento airport. I've been there, done that. Have fun, buddy. Back to Boston. Maybe they're kind enough to at least fly into San Francisco and get a better flight. But red eye. He's going to see a specialist, likely done for the season. I'd be shocked if we see him again. Mr. Eaton got recalled. I believe it's Nick Sogard. Got recalled. Doesn't do much for me in fantasy. But what are your thoughts on this one? Because you trade Connelly early, who's actually going to get a rehab start next week, potentially, and you lose Curtis Meade for the rest of the year.
Right. It was first game, like, just brutal. I mean, for the Red Sox and Red Sox fans, like, that is just, you just gave up Connelly early for nothing. For fantasy, obviously, it really sucks. I was looking forward to Curtis Meade getting third base eligibility down the stretch, which would have been pretty damn sweet, even though the lineup was, I guess, technically a downgrade from the Nats to Boston. Would have been pretty damn good, but I am planning to drop Mr. Meade in pretty much all my Fab leagues this weekend. Nick Sogard getting called up does not move the needle. Romy Gonzalez started second base this evening against the lefty. But, I mean, the Red Sox made this move for a reason, right, to plug that hole at second base. And there is that hole still exists, unfortunately.
Yes, Romy Gonzalez got the start versus the lefty on Tuesday. I believe Adam Siegler will get back in the mix. And trust me, he was nothing to get that excited about. So yeah, you're back to not caring about second base in Boston right now. Jake Bowers is an interesting one. It might be nothing, but it was a little depressing at first when I saw he has a fractured right big toe from fouling a ball off his foot. But then after more imaging, they realized it was a previous fracture that he's had 2 years ago in his right big toe, and it's just a pain tolerance situation. So there might not be an IL at all, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. This just sounds weird, doesn't it? Like, yeah. I know we've all grown to be skeptical of injury news, but like, oh, never mind. Yeah, that's the toe I broke 2 years ago. It's nothing. I don't know. I guess it's good news, right? Because you were ready to bid adieu to your boy, to Jake Bowers. And I guess now you're not, right? You're going to hold and just
hold him for a little bit longer.
See what happens. See how he looks. I think it is important to just have an extra eye on Jake Bowers this next week or so, the rest of this week. Just see how he looks. Is he wincing? Like, is there anything going on there? Because if it is a pain tolerance thing and the pain is worse than it was before, it could be one of those health for theme of the episode, Gene Segura situations where Bowers is in there playing every day, but is he fully effective? So not saying that's going to happen, but just something to monitor, as the famous podcasters say.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk about the San Francisco Giants. Casey Schmidt lands on the IL with a torn right meniscus. He's going to likely miss the rest of the season. That's a massive blow to the Giants. As I'm going to butcher this one, as Velus Basabe was recalled from AAA, that's just temporary until Matt Chapman likely returns, is the best way I would go about that one, because he should be back in the coming days. Also, Barracuda is going to start a rehab assignment next week, if that's something anybody's interested in. And there's going to be a lot of trades in San Francisco, but you can drop Casey Schmidt.
Okay, covered it. I always have a tough feel for Giants playing time, which is why I partner with you, Bubba.
So. Oh, that's a good reason too, I guess. Just so you can, Canzone just hit another home run, by the way.
Did he really? Good. Yes,
he did. Almost
off another lefty.
Yep.
Two lefties off Canzone. That's incredible. I mean, just to put a final kind of bookend on Casey Schmidt, hell of a year, man. Like, I mean, this sucks, but .271 batting average, 21 homers, 9 steals. Like, this was, I mean, Casey Schmidt was like the mascot of our mid-year reviews because he was a quote unquote breakout at, I think, 3 different positions mid-year. So a hell of a run for Casey Schmidt, but all good things must come to an end. So it sucks.
Yes, sadly, that is the case. But hopefully, since it's just a torn meniscus, not an ACL or anything, that he should be good to go for the start of 27, and probably means they don't trade him either, which is quite nice. That takes us to Spencer Steer. Spencer Steer lands on the IL with a torn wrist ligament, is what they're saying. He's going to a significant time. So, yeah, he's pretty much a donezo as well, which is a massive bummer. They recalled Ivan Johnson from AAA. He got the start at second base on Tuesday. Doesn't do a whole lot for me there. Steer's having a pretty good year, Ryan. So that's a big hit for someone like Matt McClain could be back next week.
Yeah, and probably, like, I guess directly for now, Nathaniel Lowe's been playing first base against righties, which kind of indirectly opens up the DH spot, which could rotate. You throw McClain in there, maybe Noelvi Marte plays a little bit more just with one extra spot open. But yeah, tough one for Oregon Duck, Spencer Steer.
Ooh, didn't even realize that. Sorry, Scott Burks. We knew Cody Bellinger was landing on the IL on Sunday. On Monday, though, we found out it was a grade 2 hamstring strain. 4 to 6 weeks is when he'll be out. So this is where Captain Cuts comes into play.
You're cutting? You're just sheer drop? Screw it?
Situational. And I know that's the answer everyone hates. But I'd hold if you can. First setback, you bounce. That's where it goes. The other thing is, I don't expect him to run when he comes back. So if you need steals, like, he's not going to help you. I'd be shocked if he does. So that's where that comes into play for me. It's a combination. If you need steals, you can probably drop him now. First setback, he's gone. It's not even a question for me. So just keep an eye on the Cody Bellinger situation. They recalled Spencer Jones from AAA. I wouldn't get too overly excited about that one this time around. I learned my lesson the first time. But he should get plenty of playing time because I don't know when Stanton is a lot coming back or Aaron Judge. So it's pretty much Spencer Jones' world at the moment.
That's the thing. It's like he's going to get Leash. I mean, he's gotten Leash twice before already in Spencer Jones. It has not worked out for him. So agreed, not too interested in Spencer Jones or his likely platoon mate, Max Schumann, who has started in left two of the last three games against lefties. But yeah, it's rough. Makes the Yankees lineup that much more stream againstable. I mean, outside of Ben Rice, what is this team doing? it's a really rough lineup right now.
They struck out, I think, like seven times over five innings versus Anthony Kay today.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't great. You can start guys against the Yankees.
And even like, I mean, that's why you look at, and that's why I need to move the weekly planner over, but the weekly planner looks at year to date, lefty righty for lineup strength. And I know you, Ben's talked about 3 weeks. You kind of look at the last month a lot of times. I do too, but yep. That's where it's important, because you look at a season long Yankees lineup. That's not the lineup they're rolling out right now.
No, much, much different. Last bit of news here for those that are under a rock. Juan Soto landed on the IL on Sunday with a strained calf, the same calf that he missed time earlier in the year with. This one's a grade 2 strain, though, which means 4 to 6 weeks. And weirdly enough, I'm more inclined to drop Juan Soto probably than Cody Bellinger, because the Mets have nothing to play for at all. And he's already had this injury once, so who's to say it recovers in 4 to 6 weeks? There's a lot more what ifs with Juan Soto to me right now, that if you need that spot, I would not be opposed to dropping him.
I think that's my biggest concern too, is it's the recurrence of a calf. Like, the Mets have every reason to play this as safe as possible, so I certainly understand if you want to drop, if you need to drop Juan Soto, I totally get it. What's the playing time fill in? I mean,
Tyrone Taylor's beasting out right now. If anybody's interested in that,
used to be my guy. I can't.
He's on fire right now.
I know. Because he's not my guy anymore. So that's how that works. But it is funny how we talked about, you know, when Luis Robert was on rehab. Oh, the Mets outfield's crowded. Like, injuries always happen, man. This stuff always kind of works out. I'm not saying it's going to work out for Lubob, who's, I think they're still going to rest regularly or trade. But it is funny how you think playing time situations are settled, and then so much changes throughout the season.
It just feels like maybe like Brett Beatty gets more playing time out of this, because like they got Lubob playing in the outfield now. So that he should not be running around the outfield. He needs to DH, in my opinion. And Bichette's been getting time at third. But I guess there's a lot of moving parts in New York right now. So watch the deadline. There's like a lot of names getting mentioned with the Mets.
But even a regular playing time Beatty, like, I agree, maybe plays, but like,
oh, I'm not adding him.
Bad, man.
He could benefit.
He could. Yeah, he could.
This whole team, like, Lindor's starting to heat up, which is great. But like, it's Ewing, Lindor, Benj, I guess Lubob, while he's swinging it well. Like, those are the main interests. I like Francisco Alvarez as a catcher too. He's going to get traded, it sounds like. As a whole, this team is fantasy wasteland at the moment. So, yeah, you could target these guys if you feel like it, actually, with your pitching, more often than not. They're not quite the Yankees, but they're getting pretty darn close.
They're getting close.
So, and then we don't have to talk about this one, but I figure I should at least pour one out for the homie. Shea Bangalore's season came to an end on Sunday. I got that notification because, you know, I get tagged on all catchers news. And he's out for the rest of the season with a torn meniscus, the same injury that Casey Schmidt just had. And apparently successful surgery on Monday for Bengaliers. So we'll see him in 2027.
He will come back better in 2027.
Yep, exactly. All right, let's do it. Let's Gene Segura all-star this thing up. This is a doozy. So let's have some fun with this.
All right. God, I don't even have it prepped. Is that wild?
Well, I'll give some backstory.
Here we go. I got it.
There you go.
All right. So what a Gene Segura. And this is Gene Segura, like, had a pretty good career. So it's kind of harsh on Gene Segura. But if anyone who rostered / remembers Gene Segura, late career Gene Segura, it was your prototypical guy. You probably took in like the middle rounds, played every single day with the Phillies. And you see that in your lineup, every lineup lock, every Monday, Friday, whatever. You see that he's playing. Kind of goes under the radar that he hasn't actually really been doing anything. It's not like pitchers where you definitely notice the blowups, it's these hitters where they're not benched, they're not hurt. You just leave them in, you think they're set and forget, and then you look like a month down the road and you're like, oh crap, this guy has done absolutely nothing for me over the last month. And so that's kind of the birth of what we call a Gene Segura all-star, is someone who is basically doing just that, playing every day, widely rostered, and just not doing anything for you. So that's the impetus for this Bloom board this evening, to throw some parameters around this thing. I took the lowest rated hitters over the last month per the Fangraphs player rater in 5x5 roto leagues, paired that up with NFBC 12 team roster rates, and took anyone with over, I think, 60 plate appearances over the last month, right? There's a ton of guys that don't play that have low ratings. But guys who are basically everyday players that are started, not rostered, but started in over 50% of NFBC 12 teamers. Got a list of, I think, 20 guys here, where I think really kind of the frame of our discussion is like, how worried are these guys? Are we dropping some of these guys? Are we riding it out? Kind of what's the deal with these guys for the last 2 months?
And it's a discussion that needs to be had. And sometimes you'll sit back and go, oh man, this is way worse than I thought it, because you just think you're locking these guys in. And these, we're talking 12 team leagues, as Ryan mentioned. So 15s, you still might be stuck with starting these guys, might not have a right choice when it's all said and done. But as Grouch says, this is a sad board. This is a therapy session or a get with it program session, depends on how you want to look at it. And we should almost do this just monthly. These guys have sucked so bad this month.
I should probably again, if I had a notepad, we were talking before the show, if I had a notepad, I should probably have this like as on the live Bloom boards, just updates every day over the last month, who are the
Gene Segura stars on the Bloom board. That'd be awesome.
Because I mean, it's actually really helpful to see this stuff, because
100%.
I had, for example, no idea. I think of Teoscar Hernandez as a pretty damn good bat, someone who I'm never sitting. He is on this board hitting 186 with one home run and six RBI over the last month. Like I did not know that. Like I knew, we'll talk about Henry Bolte at the top. Like I knew that you, Ben, and I have been texting about Bolte, but some of these guys, you don't realize it until it's kind of too late.
And what if I told you, because Teoscar just came up and they showed his stat line, he's only hitting 248 with eight home runs and 37 RBIs on the entire season.
All year.
but we will get to him shortly. Let's start with Henry Bolte, who you mentioned, because it was like a Bolte of lightning when he was called up the same week as AJ Ewing. And it was, which one do you want? And Bolte was the cheaper one. And that's who Ben and I ended up with more often than not. And for a good stretch of time, it felt fine. Like the power wasn't fully there, but he was hitting for great average, stealing bags, playing every day in the center, doing his thing. Still playing every day in center, but as you mentioned on this board, over the past months, Bolte is hitting 127, one homer, one steal, five runs, five RBIs. It's been beyond brutal for Henry Bolte. Did get a steal on Tuesday evening, so that's a plus. But I have a biased opinion, probably. I'll try to keep it unbiased. So I'll let you go first on this, so you can just tell me what you think on it before I give my two cents.
It's tough. I think we're already well into rabbit territory with Henry Bolte. It's given the strikeout rate that we've seen from Bolte, given the in-season trend of the strikeout rate for Henry Bolte, I don't see him being able to hold a high batting average, like 240. He's hitting 243 right now. Over the last month, it's been, very bad. There's no power. I know he's got three homers. I know the park is great, but Henry Bolte has a 63% ground ball rate, hits everything on the ground. So, it's kind of, you're one of the Bobs. What would you say you do here outside of stolen bases? And even the stolen bases, I know Bolte got one tonight, but he's now 12 for 17.
So they're letting
that's not that great either. So I don't know.
It's Randy Arozarena stuff. But what I'd say with Bolte is the defense is keeping him out there, so he's getting the playing time. The 127 average, it's crazy with the ground ball rate that you mentioned, 65% you're saying, or something like that?
Yeah.
A 163 BABIP with that speed, that shouldn't be happening.
Correct. Good point.
So, in a 12-team league, though, this is where the question comes from. 12-team league, I told you guys in our messages that I'm starting him everywhere this week for the seven games in Sacramento. if he doesn't blow my socks off in 12s, he's probably gone. He's been on the bench the last like couple weeks when we've been on the road. In 15s, unless something better comes on the waiver wire, which could happen, but I'll probably hold him and just play him in Sacramento is what it comes down to. Yeah. Or if I know I need steals, they have a 7-game week and that's my fifth outfield option, maybe, stuff like that. He's not a must start by any means. That's the whole point of this conversation, because Gene Segura was a must start, and then you realize, oops, maybe not. Bolte is probably closer to a drop in a 12 than actually a hold, is where I'll go with this.
And I even wonder, like, why are the A's playing him so much? Like, even, I mean, over the, yes, the defense, but like, the dude has a 184 OBP over the last month. That OBP.
Yeah, that's bad.
Whew. So maybe at some point the playing, and the second the playing time dries up, he's a cut in 15s, but.
Oh, 1,000%, yes. The biggest problem, the Rooker injury saved him.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to, because it turned into Law Dog and Colby Thomas basically splitting time in the alpha. And then now you have Langelier's injury, which now gives Carlos Cortez room to DH. Like, it's opened up so many more avenues for and Cortez hasn't even played the last four games. He hasn't played versus lefties at all. So the Rooker and then now Langelier's injury has allowed Bolte to stick around.
It's been almost a zero for you the last month. Like, it has basically been the same as not, you know, playing with four outfielders.
But to highlight an extra onto that as a theme from our news segment, you can stream against the A's, folks. Like, it's a bad lineup. It's a very bad lineup right now. Like, Kurtz is back, which is nice. Maybe Gelof comes back next week, but it's like Jacob Wilson doesn't scare me. Kurtz, Soderstrom's been slumping again. Jonah Heim, Tommy Tinkles down the third baseline.
Yeah, Tommy Tinkles in the infield.
Donovan Walton, Jeff McNeil, Henry Bolte, Lawrence Butler / Colby Thomas. Like, that doesn't do it, like, at all. So
we have to call him Tommy Tinkles until he gets an extra base.
Until he starts hitting some tanks. Like, we saw it last week or whatever, Washington was in town. They shut him down. Cavalli and Foster Griffin back-to-back. So far, Tolley was great. Bennett gave up 3 runs. Like, they're not lighting the world on fire right now with that offense, but that's not the point of this board. Just want to throw that out there as well. Yeah. All right, Ian Happ. This is a crazy one, because Ian Happ was the guy when we're talking like preseason outfield rankings. Like you saw the great ADP. Like, okay, it's boring profile, but he's going to hit like 250. He's going to hit 20-something home runs, maybe get you 160 runs in RBIs, maybe 170. Very solid floor 15-team outfielder. Well, over the last month, Ryan, 185 average, 1 homer, 0 steals, 9 runs scored. Beyond brutal for Ian Happ, and he's going to play every day because he's Ian Happ.
Yeah, and Ian Happ's even more of like the ultimate boring type, because you have your ebbs and flows, but like at the end of the year, it is Ian Happ. And even still this year, he's got 18 homers, but only hitting .218 with 4 steals. So definitely a down year for Ian Happ, and it has been much, much worse over the last month.
This
is a 12 team conversation. I think in 15s you're rolling with almost all these guys, kind of saying earlier, but I think you could move on from Ian Happ in a 12 teamer. Certainly you should not be starting him right now. I guess had a decent game on
Tuesday,
whatever day today is, Tuesday, but shortly after I made the board,
10 runs.
That's when Michael McGreevy is your opposing starting pitcher. But yeah, man, one homer, 4 RBI, 0 steals, an entire month for Ian Happ. He's got a ton of plate appearances too.
Yeah, that's the bad part.
That's like 20 more than Henry Bolte. So you don't even notice that he's on the bench like Bolte is sometimes. Absolutely brutal stretch for Mr. Happ.
I guess where the conversation goes then with like Ian Happ is, I know in a 12, you can drop, like, I guess we'll incorporate some 15 team discussions. Like, he's not an automatic start, though. You got to keep that in mind. Like, the fact he started in 95% of OCs that's crazy considering how many, like, I write up my fab column based on OC percentages.
Yep.
There is so many outfielders in 12s. Like, we talk about that on our show, but like, I literally write them up every week. So many guys you could play over Ian Happ. You could stream one a week and drop them and start another one. And just play him over Ian Happ every week and probably have a much better stat line. So that's where your brain has to go in 12s compared to 15s, where you just don't have that luxury. He's more of a bench and play matchups.
Yep.
All right. Dalton Varsho started in 63% of OCs, hitting .203, 0 home runs and 2 steals over the past month. Now, like some of these guys, the reason they play a lot is because Varsho does play great defense. Like he's going to play pretty much every day for the Toronto Blue Jays. That offense is horrific this season. So it's not helping Varsho at all. But this production, since he's come off the IL this time around, you can't play him.
You can't. And I think that's, I'm glad you bring up the IL point, because that's the additional context that we don't have with Bolte and Hap, is Varsho is a wrist injury, missed some time in June, and just, yeah, has not been, I won't say the same, because is Dalton Varsho even that good anymore? I'm not sure, but has been a shell of his former self, I guess I'll say, since returning from that wrist injury in IL. So yeah, your mind immediately goes to, is something still not right there? Or is this just a slump? I think you move on very quickly from Dalton Varsho, thinking that this post-injury version is just not the same version that he was before.
Yep, full agree there. I think you move on in 12s and almost in 15s, because I just don't think you're going to see it the rest of the year. Christian Walker, this is the first one so far where now I think we have a real discussion to be had. 78% started in OCs, hitting 186, two homers over the past month. Couple things with Walker. He's played through. He hasn't gone on the aisle, played through injuries the last few months. Went deep on Tuesday. That's a plus. I'll stop there before I maybe steal some thunder for you. But bottom line for me is you just keep playing Christian Walker.
I think so, but this is also injury context too. Like I think it was last week when we thought it was an oblique, and like he took a swing and hurt himself. And like, I guess so you immediately think oblique, and I guess the team diagnosed as a hip, missed a couple games, but like that really worries me for Christian Walker. Has this been nagging for quite some time? And given where we are during at this point in the season, any nagging injury doesn't really have time to just kind of go away and work itself out, right? With just 2 months left. So I don't know, man. The exit velo for Christian Walker is way down over the last month. Strikeouts are way up. Like you add the hip/side, whatever injury you want to call it, that we saw last week just off of a basic swing. I think I'm a little more concerned than you are with Christian Walker. I'm not dropping in 12 teamers, but I'm not depending on him to start until I see something.
Okay, let me rephrase it. I definitely would not drop him in 12s. I would drop Varsho, lightly drop Bolte, and potentially drop Hap. Walker, I would hold. I would not throw that one back. But like we've seen in the last few weeks, there's been first basemans. Like this is where in 12s you got to start doing the crazy thought process of sit Walker, add Ty France, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Ride France while he's hot, and then if he slows down, maybe Walker's – you play that game for a little while. So yeah, if you can go find another first baseman, go for it. But yeah, Walker is a tough drop, because if things heal, again, we're getting closer to the end of the season, he can go on a tear with the best of them. And that Astros offense is getting healthy. It's still not great. Like I was breaking down, they're starting Lamont Wade Jr. every day versus righties, and he's hitting .180. Like it's atrocious. But they still have a pretty
cover
good
boy. Cover boy for your HQ article. If
it wasn't the guy I wanted, but the Associated Press doesn't have the guy I wanted. So that shows you how obscure that one is.
Well, I didn't want the guy you wanted.
Yeah, that's why I had to preface it for you. Just hear me out.
It's back to Walker though. It's just, and this is one where it does fall through the cracks, just because 7 homers in April, 9 homers in May. Like this was the re-breakout of Christian Walker, king of the olds potential on the hitting side, and you think you're just set, you think you're just good for Christian Walker. Even as June hit .214 in June with 3 homers. Yep. And then obviously July has been this bad. So it's been a full 2 months of Christian Walker being pretty bad.
Yeah, that's not ideal. So maybe hold him a couple more weeks, and if it still struggles, then it's a drop in a 12, but I can't jump ship just yet.
Agreed.
This one's, it's an easy hold for me just because of the catching landscape, but just a heads up, William Contreras hitting a .165 with a home run over the past month. Like I said, I'm not sitting him even. I'm still starting him, but that's pretty bad.
Yeah, not actionable, but and still should be 100% started, I think, in 12 teamers. But It is nuts. Again, myself included, you look at your lineup and you think you're set at least one of your catcher spots because you have King William back there. Five runs over the last month. One homer, no steals, 165. It's been atrocious. But this one you cannot do anything about.
Well, it makes you wonder if he's playing with an injury because, like, March, April, 288 with 18 runs. May, 302 with 12 runs. June, 302 with 17 runs. Like, he played the first 3 months of the year. He was as advertised. Yeah. So it really makes, like, you'd hope for more power, I guess. He only had 9 home runs in the first 3 months, but... Yeah, he was playing great, and it's just been a different story right now.
And I mean, we only have to go back 1 year to William Contreras playing through an injury. How it messed him up last year.
Most catchers are playing through injuries right now. That's just reality of the situation. Yeah. Jack Caggs, this one stood out to me earlier today when I was doing the Fantasy Pros show. He's 84% started, still in 12s, hitting 203 with 2 home runs. It didn't seem like it was that long ago, Ryan, that Jack Caggs was torching everything he touched. And over this past month, even the quality of contact metrics have dipped in Jack Caggs' standards. But Ryan, please inform the listeners, why might that be? Because I think you're going to say the same thing.
I don't know. What am I going to say?
I think he's playing through a shoulder injury.
That would check out. Yes.
He missed like three or four games. He was day-to-day with a shoulder injury. So I think that's what it is.
And the biggest thing with that, with the shoulder, is a lot of times what happens is you lose the loft. And it's been a 56% ground ball rate for Jack Caggs in July. Other months, 38, 41, 44%. So just a ton of ground balls for Jack Caggs. But really, like, yeah, and this one's tough because, I mean, you mentioned we thought we were in the clear with Jack Caggs. In June, hit 309 with 9 homers. And every other month, Caglione has hit 3 homers or less and has hit below 260. In May, hit 222, in July, 213. So, yeah, wouldn't surprise me if this was also shoulder related, especially you just don't see a huge uptick in ground ball rate like that all of a sudden.
Yep, it's something to keep in mind, but I'm still starting Jack Caggs unless you have other options. I think he's so streaky that he could hit a heater in no time. But, hey, maybe not, because I got a name we're going to talk about. It's not on this list. I just want to get your thoughts on later that make most of this look foolish.
The problem, too, with Caggs is, like, the lineup's just so bad with Bobby Witt out. Like, oh. Yes. I mean, that's why you only have 7 runs and 7 RBI. Like, that doesn't help.
But then I'll also say, like, as a precursor, like Ryan said, if we did this 2 months into the year, you say hold everybody. For like the first 3, maybe even 4 months, people were saying Salvador Perez is washed. Well, he ain't on this list, folks, because he's actually hitting the ball again. So, like, these guys can turn it around. That's why most of them are going to be bench, but there are some cuts. And to me, Teoscar Hernandez
is a cut.
I've been anti Teoscar for most of this year. You are not. I wouldn't have him rostered right now. Buck 86, 1 homer. Like I said, 8 homers on the entire season with 37. That is not a 12-team profile at all. Like, there's zero room for that on a 12-team roster.
Captain cut. That's a brutal one.
Yeah, there's no room for Teoscar on a 12-team roster.
He is, I can't even see. What is he? He's 99% owned. So you would drop. I mean, I do get it. 8 homers all season. 251.
Like that, he's barely literally not doing anything. That's barely a 15-team floor. If you like, he's almost not even rosterable there.
And the skills aren't even like HQ expected batting average is at 220.
That's not
like good. Just because there's been a ton of Ks and really just the hard contact has not been there. Like below average raw power for Teoscar. So like this isn't even. You're kind of right. Like this isn't.
Clip
yes,
it.
This is. Well, I mean, you've been right very often this year. Yeah, this is, and to only have 6 RBI in a month in the Dodgers lineup, like, I don't know. I guess the name value of Teoscar Hernandez is doing a lot of the heavy lifting for me, and it really shouldn't. You're right. This is not
thus the Gene Segura.
Thus the Gene Segura. Maybe we call this the Teoscar Hernandez. At some point, we're not going to
change
retire.
Names.
I don't know. Do we? I think this sticks.
Maybe
we'll
eventually.
We'll be like 60 Regifo's years old.
Regifo's still getting called the mascot in other shows right now. Like, I don't know if this changes.
Is he really? That's awesome.
Jake Alisker, when he was on Waxman's pod, kept calling him the mascot when they were talking about it. I was laughing the whole time.
Jake, you are the man. That
yeah,
is awesome.
Jake's awesome. But yeah, Teoscar, you can cut him. And like, I think you can cut Teoscar in 15s, honestly.
Here we, Mr. Grouch in the chat had no idea Teoscar was doing that bad. He's dropping Teoscar for Edoberto Hernandez. And that's actually like 100% really good in a Yahoo league. That's a very good example of kind of what we're talking about.
Like, give me one second here. I probably should have prepped this. I'm going to pull up OC roster rates, and we can talk about guys we can add drop for just to have a little fun with this. So I mean, when
you could add anyone for Teoscar.
Okay, we'll do any. Let's just do any hitter to keep it reasonable, and we'll go to my standard sub 60% rate. Like, you got Estuary Ruiz.
Oh my!
Had to.
You should start Estuary Ruiz. Like my dumbass.
Bench the. No, well, you weren't dumb for that. That's just the Marlins. What about Ryan Waldschmidt? Like the potential upside of Waldy over
Teoscar. Teoscar.
Okay. Let's do a couple. And these are less than 60%. What about Jock Jams?
Yeah. I mean, a ready heavy week. Sure. Yeah. I would do Jock Jams over Teoscar. I mean, Jock Jams hit two homers on Monday. That's a quarter of Teoscar all season.
9-game hitting streak for Jock Peterson right now. Your boy Goldie's out there. Don't do that. What about Andrew Vaughn? He's playing every day. It's not a left-handed thing right now.
Yeah, probably Vaughn, yeah.
Okay, here's the last one I'll ask. This one. This is going to be really trust your instincts here. Tim the Toolman Tawa.
I don't know, man. That's tough. I think I'd still do Teoscar, but if you want to...
It's Tawa.
If you want to Tim Allen yourself... You can do that. Yeah. Trying to bait that one for. I was going to do it, but it's nowhere near as good as yours. So, I certainly understand Tawa over Teoscar. I mean, I do. I get it.
Okay. Well, I just had to have that conversation for the listeners out there. We'll move on from that. Brandon Marsh. This is one I've been just setting and forgetting because
I did not realize this at all.
I did not either until earlier today when I was, like I said, I was doing the Jack conversation. I almost pulled up the same list on Fangraphs when I was looking at it. And Brandon Marsh over the last month, .170, still has the four homers, which like makes us even more like surprised by the numbers. Like, oh, he's hitting home runs. We're good. But it's only six RBIs and one steal. It's I think you're still playing him. Like, what are you going to do? But it's been brutal.
I agree. And that's actually a good point on the home runs because I get a notification on my phone for every home run. This just helps me keep me in tune with what's going on. And yeah, if I see my phone light up four times in a month for Brandon Marsh, I just assume he's doing pretty good. But yeah, six RBI with four home runs in a month, not great. I think in a 12 he's a streamer anyway, so it's kind of a tougher situation. But if you've got like a 4-game righty week for Marsh, I could see you benching and going elsewhere.
You mean 4-game lefty week?
Or right? Yeah. No, 4-game righty week. If it's anything more than that, you're doing it. If it's four, I don't know if you do it. It's kind of what I'm saying.
Gotcha. In a 12, maybe like if you have the right options on the bench for sure, but definitely not cutting Marsh. And I think we're going to be fine on that one. But surprised to see this name on there for sure.
Yeah.
Jonathan Aranda hitting .261, one home run, 8 runs, 8 ribbies. Also 103 plate appearances, third most on this list. So he's doing it in volume to your roster. So he's still hitting for a decent average, but it's no power. And you want Jonathan Aranda to hit for power.
Yeah. And I guess he's not killing you just because of the average, but you mentioned the power. It's been 14 homers for Aranda this year. I'm not that worried. The K rate to me, I'm kind of scanning Aranda's stats over the last month compared to his current year. Basically the same strikeout rate, basically the same contact quality. So to me, this seems more of just like a bad luck type deal. And again, the batting average is still there. So I'm not worried about Jonathan Aranda. I think you wait this one out.
Would you rather start Aranda or Christian Walker?
Aranda.
Okay. So let me give some context there. Trent Grisham, talking about that bad Yankees lineup. He's leading off most of the time, but I guess actually Schumann's been leading off the last few, surprisingly enough. Good God. Trent Grisham's hitting a .159, 3 home runs, which is nice. 11 runs scored is actually not bad either. But six RBIs, one stolen base. He's reverting back to the guy he once was, is what I'm saying. Over the last month, at least.
Yeah, over the last month. Because I actually liked, like, I thought Grisham was getting pretty unlucky with his batted balls for most of this season, but it has gone to hell. Even still, this season, 16% K rate. Like, he's not striking out. He just hits so many fly balls and 25 barrels. I don't know. He should be better than this based on the hard contact and the K rate, but it just hasn't been there for Grisham. I mean, it hasn't really been there all year for him. So in 12s, if you want to move on, I could understand that, but I don't know, man. Part of me still thinks Grisham is good enough to have a decent final 2 months here. I think there's enough hard contact. He's not pressing. Just nothing good is happening to him.
So Grisham over Hap?
I think I take Hap, but I might go Grisham over Teoscar.
Oh, I'm going that way. That's what I was coming. Grisham
I
over
might.
Teoscar?
I might.
God. What about Grisham and Jack Kags?
Who would you take?
Kags.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. All right. Now a couple names that you're not doing a darn thing about, but just, hey, this is what's happening. Mike Trout's hitting 294 with a home run and a stolen base. Now he's only played probably 2.5 weeks of this month due to injury, but still not a good run coming off the IL.
Not a good run coming off the IL, and this is one where, I mean, anything with kind of arbitrary filters, Trout, you know, injury, just two plate appearances over the minimum, so I'm not worried about Mike Trout.
Bryce Harper, you're not doing anything about this either, but .163 with 3 home runs, 13 RBIs, 9 runs scored, and 1 steal. Like I said, you're probably still starting him even. You're not going to sit Bryce Harper, but
yeah,
really bad.
Really bad, but agree, for someone like this, it's Bryce Harper. You know, if he's healthy, you're starting him. And yeah, if you have a bad month, you have a bad month. But it just feels like one of those guys, the second you bench him for a week, he'll be just fine.
Now we get interesting back at the catcher's position here. Alejandro Kirk hitting 250 with 1 home run, 4 runs scored, and 5 RBI. So the 250 at catcher 2, not bad. Problem is, he might be your catcher 1. Which isn't great. And he's not giving you much of anything in the other counting stats. The only saving grace, I'll say, for Kirk right now, probably not a lot of options on the waiver wire with all the injuries that have taken place. If this was like 3 weeks ago, I would have said, yes, go grab Ryan Jeffers. Go grab Kyle Teal. Go. There's a lot of guys I would have picked up and dropped Alejandro Kirk in a 12-team league.
Yeah, especially after last week's carnage, it's hard to do anything. But it's also really hard to have 70 plate appearances and have 4 runs and 5 RBI.
It's the second Blue Jay on this list, right? Somehow Vlad didn't qualify. What do you have, 2 home runs maybe? Like, none at home?
Yeah, how is Vlad not on this list?
Yeah, how did he not make
probably
the
not
list?
Too My far goodness. Out. Maybe he's under 50% starting.
I've benched him in 15s the last 3 weeks.
I know. Yeah, we've talked about that. You have not missed out at all by benching Vlad.
Nope. But Kirk, yeah, I think you're just stuck with him, unfortunately, based on the world we live in.
Yeah. Really, you're more just hoping that the Blue Jays can get their stuff together. And because, I mean, Kirk's not going to hit for a ton of power. Yeah, we had some uptick last season, but like 250 batting average isn't horrible. You just hope that turns into some counting stats. But man, that Blue Jays lineup is just so bad.
All right. So then I'll ask you this one. Bo Bichette, 287, 8 homers or 8 runs, no homers, no steals, 7 RBIs. Bo Bichette was like, look, everyone was like, look at, he's back for like 3 weeks. Now he's back to being Bo Bichette on a very bad Mets offense, Ryan.
On a very bad Mets offense. I think that, you know, flash in the pan that we saw from Bo Bichette is not the true Bo Bichette. June hit .321 with 5 homers. Like, that was pretty sweet, but back to his ways now. So I don't know. You tack on the fact that, yeah, the Mets are just so bad. That's what we let off the show with. Do we have other third baseman on this list to compare him to?
I don't think so. There's a lot of third basemans picked up this past week. Most of them haven't started this week, but they got picked up this past week.
Yeah. Yeah. CES or Bichette. At least Bichette's playing.
On, Yeah, he's play-wise, probably take my chance on CES, but CES and Brady House, and now Curtis Meade's dead. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so maybe you're stuck with Bichette, and that's what you do. But hitting 287, like, that's not bad the last month. That's quite good. But it's more a referendum on the Mets than anything else.
It's bad everywhere else. Jung-Hoo Lee hitting 228, 10-run score, which is nice, but one homer, one stolen base. He's a drop in 12s. Like, I was never a 12s fan for him. He's more of a 15 floor, and that's even tough right now. So he's 54% started in 12s. That number is going to keep going down.
Yeah, unfortunately, not too many Jung-Hoo Lee chants for your daughter to.
That's her favorite chant.
Get fired up about. I guess they probably still chant. So,
check this one out. I got to throw this out for as a shout to her, who, you know, 6 years old. She came up with this like a month ago. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Jung. Do it. Come on. Keep going.
Jung-Hoo.
Jung-Hoo Lee. Jung-Hoo. That's, yeah, I was pretty impressed by that one.
That's pretty sick, man.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. Like, the first time she did it, I almost, like, a tear came to my eyes. But that's freaking awesome. Yeah,
I mean, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
No, the dad joke's already coming out at an early age. Yes.
Hey, I've heard of that saying. You proud of me?
Yes, I'm proud of you. You remembered it. Now just don't tip over the apple cart.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, but yeah, Jung-Hoo, he's a drop for me in 12s.
Yeah, yep.
Another Dodger on the list, doesn't pain me to say. Mookie Betts hitting 225, two homers, no steals. I was not a Mookie Betts guy anyways, but what do you also, I'll give the floor to you.
Because I was a Mookie Betts guy?
Not this year, you weren't. Not this year.
That is, remember, we talked about this in our shortstop episode. Who had the same ADP as Mookie Betts in draft season,
CJ
Bubba?
CJ Abrams, everybody. Six home runs last week, by the way.
Yeah. One of your many bright spots. It's freaking sweet to see. Yeah. But that makes the Mookie Betts pick, like, infinitely worse, as you were choosing between Mookie Betts and CJ Abrams, right? And yeah, you could probably do the math on how much that is affecting your standings so far this season. But I don't know, man. I look at the skills for Mookie Betts. I'm still in, dude. I'm still in. Doesn't strike out. The hard contact's actually been really good over the last month. I'm not joking. Like, I'm not making things up here. I think Mookie's in for a decent final 2 months.
Okay, 12-team leagues. Willie Castro or Mookie Betts?
Mookie Betts.
Chase Meidroth or Mookie Betts?
Chase Meidroth?
Yeah, he run homer off of David Bednar tonight.
He did homer tonight. That's right. No, man, Mookie Betts.
Cooper Pratt or Mookie Betts?
Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I draw the line there. That's Cooper Pratt one for me. But I don't have to make that decision, thank goodness. But yeah, 94% started. I guess teams don't have two shortstops, but I would think about doing things otherwise. Yandy Diaz hitting 210 with two home runs, 13 runs scored. This one was a surprise to me as well, but I did bench him like the last week because I had multiple first basemans now that Bryce Eldridge has eligibility there. So what are your thoughts on Yandy Diaz?
I think you just wait this one out. We know who Yandy Diaz is, right? Like, I think this is just a slump, and I'm not super worried about Yandy. Like, okay. I would have him over Christian Walker.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I would too. My question to you now, I know it's not how we play the game of fantasy baseball, but if we just had this list and no names, how would that change your thoughts on some of these guys if you just saw roster rates?
Yeah, see, that's, I don't know, that's always tricky because I hear that all the time, like the name value, but it's not really the name of, but I mean, it's the track record that they bring. So you have earned some of your name value to a point. Now the downside of that, and this is one of my deficiencies as a player that's reared its ugly head this season, is I have these older visions of players like of a Teoscar who was good 3 years ago. And yeah, like, you can have a down year maybe, but once you once you are elevated in age, a couple years like that, it's like you're just not the player you once were. So that's the one caveat to it. But like, I pause a little bit at like the quote unquote name value of some of these guys, because I mean, they have earned that track record of what they've done. But again, I mean, to Betts's point, to Hernandez's point, it's been a little bit since they've been good.
Yes, it's been a little bit. And I guess it's just the more the captain cuts nature in me, where I'm starting to, by like midseason, I'm starting to really get, if you're not playing well, we're going to have these deep conversations. So I'm going to throw a stat line out to you. I'm not going to say his name yet, but I'm going to throw it out to you. So since over the last month, now given he's only has 42 plate appearances because he came off the IL, I'll say that much, but he is hitting 306 with one extra base hit, no home runs, six runs, one RBI, and one steal, with a 393 BABIP. So that's been a plus on those. If you want StatCast, it's a 3.5% barrel rate and a 54% hard hit rate. Would you hang on to this player?
I feel like it's Vlad, but we just talked about Vlad.
Nah, it's too high of a batting average.
Yeah. Yeah, I would hang on to that player.
Yeah, that's Vinny Pascantino. So then I bring on to the question, because I benched him even in a 15 this week. I'm not going to drop him, but I benched him. So now you look at like a Yandy Diaz, like Vinny's hitting 306, but Yandy crushes him in the other categories. Even Christian Walker does better in the other categories. Would you play those two over Vinny P?
Christian Walker and
Yandy Diaz, the two other first basemen on, even Jonathan Aranda, if you want. There's three first basemen on the board.
I would probably start them over Vinny P.
Okay. I just wanted to have the conversation for the listeners, because it's like there's that. So I'm bringing it full circle to the name value part of this.
Yeah.
We got to start like having the conversations of what is helping your team or hurting your team, because you have 2 months and if you've already heard it this long, you got to stop quickly.
It's just always a fine line of like even good play, even in a season where they were good, you've got a bad month in there somewhere.
1,000%. Yeah.
Like that's just baseball. There is variance here, and there's not a right answer. There's not a magic formula or whatever to say. And, you know, it'd be kind of cool to revisit this board at the end of the year and look and maybe add to the right of this what they finished over the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's just they're in a funk, the wheels fall off. Sometimes there's a hidden injury, like we've talked about with some of these guys. So much of it is context. So much of it is your other options that you have. But it's so much of it is case by case. It's tricky. It's absolutely tricky.
Full agree. And TDK mentions Berger for the next week over all of them. I agree. I've been playing Berger over most of these guys right now. So actually over Vinny P in a 15, as you mentioned it.
How would you answer that same question? Vinny P versus the other three first base.
I start the other three over him.
Yeah.
Like Vinny P maybe over Aranda, because I'm just not an Aranda guy. And now you're just talking batting average and hoping for power. So I'd probably start Vinny P over him. But Diaz and Walker, I'd play over Vinny P.
Okay.
Because at the other part of the argument for me is batting average is probably already either really good or really bad at this point in the year. And you're not going to probably move it a whole lot. You still can. You can get lucky. But if these other guys are helping in the other four categories, I'll take my chances on those.
That's fair. And yeah, I was trying to think of the example earlier in terms of like name value. Dansby Swanson comes to mind. I know last month or so hasn't been that great, but like, remember it was 2-3 months of a really bad Dansby Swanson. And then just, I don't know where that happened, but carried entire teams for like 2 weeks there. That's someone who like, yes, has the name value, has the track record. I think just by the end of the year, it's going to be there, but there's some major ebbs and flows in the production.
All right. How about this guy? We'll do one more for fun. 226 average, 4 homers, 10 runs scored, 14 RBIs, 2 stolen bases over the past month. Still striking out 33% of the time, though. And if you want StatCast, almost 14% barrel rate and a 41% hard hit rate. Okay. Are you still starting that player? This is a name value play for you.
I am still starting that. Power is still there, so I'm still starting the player.
It's not Jorge Soler, which TDK asked. It's a guy that went for a lot of money last week named Austin Riley, who did nothing this past week since he was added.
Interesting.
So I wanted to throw that name value part out there to add to the conversation we're having. Just, it's just open.
He still has that high of a barrel rate. Interesting.
For over the last month, he still. That's why it was so hard for so many people to give up on him, because the quality of contact was still very strong.
Yep.
It was just, you know, a third of the time he strikes out. And
yeah, but I mean, if there's anything we learned lately, you can survive with it. And here I am defending Austin Riley. Like,
he's hitting 216 on the year with 12 homers and 6 steals.
Yeah, no, it has been completely brutal. But the hard contact, I mean, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So just interesting conversations. There's probably, like you said, there's rights, there's wrongs. Who knows what's right and wrong? But it's just the name value, and that's why I'm glad you, I think that's what gets so many people, including myself, in trouble at times, is, and that's kind of the point of the Gene Segura thing. The name value has a lot to do with this. We just think this is who they are. And we don't look into the, I guess the depths, like the Teoscar thing. I think out of all of this tonight, Teoscar opened the eye for you. Teoscar about how bad the entire season has been. The rest of them, I can listen to both sides of conversations, but Teoscar's just been unusable.
I'll throw this to you. Does the time of year matter for you? What if we had this exact board in, what if this was May 28th instead of July 28th? Would you be much more conservative with your move ons?
Yeah, I usually wait till what is it? What's in May? Is it Memorial Day in May?
Yes.
I usually wait till like June 1st before I get to, and then if it's a really good player, it's probably more like July 1st before I start making moves like that.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's probably something I need to be more aggressive on.
Yeah, I'll wait long enough for the name value parts. That's why I agree with what you're saying. I'm just trying to bring it all into conversation. Mm-hmm. So I agree with the name value part, but it gets to a point where I got to just realize the season's winding down and I need to start making moves to improve the team.
Yep.
And it's not easy. And you're going to make a lot of bad moves, and you're going to make some good moves, and hopefully the good outweighs the bad.
And the bad moves, if you make them now, they don't sting for the remaining 4 months of the season. They sting for the remaining month and a half, even if that. So,
and if you want any stupid silver linings, also, if you drop a guy early, well, that means somebody spent a lot of money in Fab, and hopefully it didn't work out for him. So you took that out of the pool as well. So there's lots of like pros and cons to all of this. That's why it's a fun game we play, because next year it could be a completely different story for all these players. Like, we don't know. Mm-hmm. I was trying to, like, just off the top of my head, look at this. You said it's roughly like 20 names. I'd say half of them are still in their 20s and half are in the 30s. So it's like most of them outside of like Teoscar, Betts, Trout.
It's most not of them an are still old young. List exclusively.
Walker's old, I guess. But yeah, it's like at least like 2/3 of this list is still pretty young.
Yeah.
So like, I wouldn't be shocked if anything, you look at this list, see what their ADP is next year and go, this could be a potential bounce back situation at the same time.
Yep.
But yeah, time will tell on that one. All right. Anything else on this before we hit some listener questions in the old Discord?
No, I think we got a few good listener questions.
Today, yeah. And actually we got a couple in the YouTube. I'll go first. MJC, our boy, says, where does Troy Melton go next year? Took him at 116 in the All-Star break Gladiator. Melton's been awesome for the Tigers.
Yeah, he's been awesome. Where does he go next year? That's the question.
Yeah.
I'll say later than 116.
That's what I'm thinking as well.
Just to kind of anchor that versus where Michael took him. And again, not saying it's a bad pick. Who knows? But I'll say later than 116.
Yep, agreed. And then TDK said one here, Joey Ortiz or Mookie Betts? Well, I know the answer from you. That's an easy bet for you.
It's going to be Mookie Betts. I mean, Joey Ortiz has name value attached to him too, and it's not good name value.
But it's been good past month. And I just want to highlight something. TDK. Yeah, it has.
We had one thing, good week.
One thing TDK says, he'd prefer Brendan Valenzuela to get what Kirk is leaving on the table. I agree. I was bummed when he lost playing time, which I get why he lost playing time. Valenzuela was raking for the Jays.
Double dong on Thursday, right?
Yep. Yep. Just not playing regularly enough. But with all the injuries, he might still be worth a catch or two pretty soon. All right. Discord questions. Dustin Anderson says, how are the Rays doing as well as they are given those Aranda and Yandy numbers? Well, it's because Chandler Simpson, of course.
Well, yeah. That's a good question, because I'm looking at the Rays. They are
Victor Mesa Jr. and Vlade Divac platoon.
Vlade Divac. It's the Vlade effect. It to the Vlade party down in
it's the Marlboro Reds going up there at the trot, baby.
Ninth best team ERA, so they're not shoving, but
they've been pitching pretty well though overall. So
it's Vlade.
Yeah, we're just gonna go with that. Alex says, what I struggle with are established guys like Harper and Yandy. Do you just ride this out or bench during cold spells? My fear is benching them for a breakout. Yeah. I will bench if the cold spell lasts. If I have options and the cold spell lasts a while, I will bench. We kind of talked about with some of these guys.
Yeah, but especially someone like Harper. I could see Yan. I mean, those are kind of two different levels of players, but I am one of those. I just never bench my studs. I mean, if you spend a top five pick on somebody.
Yeah, for me, like Harper, Yandy, probably Marsh and William Contreras are like the only automatic still starts for me right now on this whole board. Everybody else, I'd be justified benching.
And William Contreras, maybe only because he's a catcher.
1,000%. If that was a second baseman, he'd probably get cut. So
right.
But it's because of the catching situation. And I mentioned, like, you want to talk about track record. The first 3 months of the season, he was outstanding. So it wasn't even like he scuffled a little bit. He was very, very good. Yep. So we'll roll with that. Mailman Mike says, who from this list do you think has the best last 2 months of the season?
That's a good question. I like that one, Mailman. I'm not going to say Mookie Betts because it'll just piss you off.
No, I hope you do, because we can make a beer bet if you want. I'll let you take bets, and I'll
actually
take
we should probably else. Beer bet this one. You can't take Bryce Harper because I'll say Mookie Betts is one of the better finishers of this group. So if we can find an amenable wager here, I'll fire up the doc.
I'll say Yandy Diaz.
Okay.
He wasn't. I'll do he's it. Not fully on board.
I don't love it because I like Yandy. I think Yandy's good.
I think he's just fine.
Last 2 months of this is our first in season. We've been slacking.
Yep, but I like that one. There's a few guys I like. I still think Cags will be fine. But yeah, Diaz versus Betts is where I would go. Yeah, Rob Guy says I'll say Bryce Harper after we said not to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Appreciate you, Rob. Make sure you bring that big bottle of wine next time we hang out. It helps me a lot with the Topo Chicos.
Thing was huge. Loved it.
It was awesome. That was a magnum, baby. Canton Dog says, can Henry Bolte's skill set bolt his production in the second half?
I don't know
right now.
Just inserting himself into show questions. You gotta like that from Greg. I don't know either. And we didn't talk about this earlier, but Michael C brought this up. Denzel Clark's on a rehab assignment. I was saying
he'll take Bolte's spot.
I was saying, yeah, in terms of playing time, like Bolte's hitting like Denzel Clark right now. So when Denzel Clark comes back, and Bolte is still doing this.
Yeah,
I think a move will be made.
He's probably got 2 to 3 weeks to get it together.
But to your point, I think you ride out this current week in Sacramento, and that's your tell.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Corbin says, why am I doing poorly with Ian Happ on so many teams? Serious question. Which player are you willing to cut that has a long track record of success? Do it, Ryan.
Bubba says all of them.
Do it. Do it, Ryan. Do
Who
it.
Who am I willing to cut?
Do it.
You want me to say Teoscar?
You need to cut Teoscar Hernandez.
I'm not going there. I'm not going there quite yet. I will say, I say this somewhat half-heartedly, but this is more of just like a bold prediction type. Christian Walker. I think something's wrong with Christian Walker.
That's fair. It could be an oblique thing for sure.
I'm not saying to cut him. I'm just like, I wouldn't be surprised if this just goes to shit.
So just a quick run through. I think Bolte is going to be a cut unless he just goes nuts the last like 3 or 4 days. Teoscar's a cut for me. Grisham, I could hear the argument. Grisham, it could be a coin toss. Bichette and Junghulia would be cuts for me.
I'm on board with that, except for Teoscar, of course. But
yeah, you got to cut him. Man.
I'm conflicted, man. I'm not going to be able to.
You want
to
beer bet Teoscar or somebody?
I mean, it depends. I mean, but probably not. The beer bet is Jack Cags. It's the same. ownership, the same start.
Right, Cags versus Teoscar?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Now we have two beer bets from this one board.
I haven't agreed, dude.
Oh.
What are we doing?
You threw it out there, so I thought it was an option.
No, I said that would be the logical.
Oh.
That would be the logical.
You don't have to do it. You can only lose one bet tonight if you want.
Jack Cags versus Teoscar. Jack Cags, another shoulder issue.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, Teoscar's just old. Okay, we'll stick to one bet for tonight. And then TDK in the Discord says, I don't think Dalen Lisle is quite on this list, but he seems to be sputtering. Could be spec candidate for that list rest of season. Could be. Dalen Lisle, I haven't paid a ton of attention to him just because the...
him up. It's been... It has been rough lately. It's been a 217 batting average, three homers, three steals over the last month, nine runs, 12 RBI. So not great, but not certainly a cut above this this crew.
It's one of those, like, is it just a cold spell? Because he's hitting 244, 11 homers, 10 steals, 53 runs, and 51 RBIs on the season. Yeah. Like, how many times have we said you want a piece of this offense? Like, if he's still starting, I want a piece of that offense.
Yeah.
And TDK wants to know is beer bets get settled usually on the golf course because we don't make it back to the bar. It's basically who's buying this bucket. Okay, that's pretty much how things go.
And typically the entirety of the beer bets are consumed before
we actually get to FS. Yeah.
Front nine.
Yeah. If Prepis is with us when fireball counts, like it just gets into the weeds.
Yeah. And really, I mean, it's not like we're buying each other. I'm buying you five and you're buying, we just buy
six packs of innings
and that's it. We just go at it. Yeah.
Yep. It's a friendly wager.
Yep.
But all right, that'll do it, man. Gene Segura All-Stars over the last month of the season, 4 months into the season, very, very eye-opening list here. And it was just ironically, like I said, I looked at this list earlier for a show, but final thoughts as we get ready for our week 20 of Fab preview coming up.
No, just hope these Segura candidates are not on a bunch of your teams. Very depressing episode this evening, but I tried to lighten it up as much as we could.
Rob Geis, I hope I get to bring the cooler to wrong one. Everyone's commenting. I'm hoping to get to bring the Sunday morning cooler to the Vegas League. Yeah, I hope he does too. That's a good one as well.
Yes, absolutely.
But all right, we'll wrap it up there. Make sure y'all follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intric. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 368. Catch y'all next time.